that we've got college grads on the mission field and pastoring churches and serving under other good churches here and there. And tonight I'm calling on one of them to be our speaker. We're very proud of Brother Sammy Morgan. Sammy, your dad used to sit right about there when he was a young man, and he worked on our buses for us and kept them running. And then one service, he surrendered to go to the mission field and wound up going to Romania and been over there a long time. They'd like to be here on coming back on furlough, but the COVID thing froze all the movements, and so they couldn't come. But Sammy and some of the other kids, well, all of them pretty much, have been here with us. And Sammy served with us. He came in on the work scholarship program and found out what the meaning of work was. Truth is, he knew before he came. Now, there's some others still learning. Some of them don't want to find out, by the way. But truth is that Sammy did a good job at everything we put him on. Faithful. He came in visiting yesterday. He's now one of the assistants of Brother Plowman up in Lyons, Georgia, and Liberty Baptist. And he came in yesterday, but let me tell you what, he could have come in and just been in the church service. He came in, went to the bus meeting, went out on the bus routes with the workers, and this morning did the same thing. And I'm just proud of that kind of testimony. I really am. God is using and will use Brother Sammy in the future. So tonight I've asked him to bring the message. He's one of our young preachers out of the college now. And so I'd say the rest of you young men, the Bible says be instant in season and out. That means you're ready. Some preacher said you ought to be ready to preach or fight at the drop of a hat. And he said be willing to drop the hat yourself. Amen. Good to have Brother Sammy Morgan with us. Sammy, come on as God leads you tonight.
Thank you, preacher. First, it's just an honor to be here and be able to have this opportunity to come and preach at Landmark. I guess if I would say I would never have expected this day would have really happened, you know. Going through college, going through the classes, attending, being on the bus route, and I'll be honest, here is where I truly learned to love the bus ministry, when I really came to love the bus kids. And so to come back and not be on the bus ministry would be unthinkable for me, to not go and see my bus kids, the ones I've had the opportunity to work with and speak to and have a part in their life. But in that sense, preachers talked about the umbrella of Liberty, of Landmark Baptist Church, I'm sorry, of Landmark Baptist Church, and my family's part of that umbrella. I would never have come here had it not been for my family coming here first. So I am so thankful for the long reach that Landmark has here and that they have kept faithful. And I can come back and say I'm proud to be a graduate of Landmark, and I can come back. There are many churches I would not go back to and say, yeah, that's a church I would want to be a part of.
But at Landmark, I can say, this is a church I'm proud to be a part of, and I'm glad I have the opportunity to be here. If you brought your Bibles today, and since you came to church, I hope you did, open to Psalms chapter 16. I'm going to preach out of Psalm 16. Today, though, I was praying about what the Lord would have me to preach on today and what he wanted. What did Landmark mean to me? And I just thinking and praying and thinking, and this verse and this passage came to my mind. And I think it sums it up pretty well. And we'll read in verse number 6, and we'll go from there. And we'll pray after I read verse number 6. Psalm 16, verse number 6. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for how good you are to us, Lord. And Lord, we don't deserve to have an opportunity to go to heaven, but let alone to serve you. And Lord, I just thank you that you've given us a place to serve. And Lord, there's no place better than Landmark, I don't believe, Lord. There's opportunity at every corner of this church, Lord, to be a part of the ministry, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for the training I received here and for the patience that those who had a part in my life had. And Lord, I pray now that you'd fill me with your spirit, Lord, that, Lord, what I say would be your words and not my own, Lord, that you would fill me. Lord, I have nothing to give, Lord, but from your word, Lord, if you speak through me, then there's something for everyone here, Lord. I I pray that you would use me, and I pray these things in your name. Amen. I want to talk about a goodly heritage, and I mean, I know not everybody can say, well, that's, you know, some people will say, well, I don't have that. I don't have a goodly heritage. I praise the Lord, I can say I have a goodly heritage. My dad, I mean, he didn't grow up in church, but, you know, I could say I'm a secondhand result of the bus ministry, because my dad was led to the Lord by the bus ministry. I mean, that's why he ended up in a Baptist church. So had there been no bus ministry, there would be no Morgan family in Romania. There would be no Samuel Morgan, a graduate with a pastoral degree from Landmark. No Susanna Morgan or Jeremiah Morgan who graduated from Landmark. There's so many lives have been affected through a simple bus ministry. And because of that, I can stand up here and say, I have a goodly heritage. Because there were faithful pastors who kept on doing what's right, even though it didn't seem like anything was happening, and they just kept at it. And now I have a goodly heritage because of that. I can stand here and say, I can be proud of my dad. He's still serving 25 years in Romania. 25 years. And that, I think about that, and that's longer than I've been alive. 25 years. My parents left before I was even born to go and work on a foreign field and have kept at it. And what a blessing that is to me. I looked in the dictionary, 1828 dictionary, of the word heritage. And we all know, obviously, it's our inheritance. It's what is given down from our ancestors, a father to a son, and so on. We know. There was a second meaning that I found was interesting. It says, the saints, or God's people, are called his heritage, as being claimed by him and the object of his special care. Doesn't that make you feel good? Man, I'm God's heritage. I'm something special to God. I'm not just like everybody else. I'm special. That he has plans for me. He has some things he's going to give on to me. What a blessing that is. We have that heritage. But first, I want to talk about my earthly heritage, my things that I have learned from my dad, things that I've had the opportunity to learn from my dad and my mom and my siblings. I learned forgiveness because of them. I'm just saying, there are seven of us. There was a lot of forgiveness going around. Most of the time it was because mom and dad said, if you don't do this, you guys don't get to eat, or you can't go out and play, or whatever they had to do. But we would forgive each other and we would have fun the next day. And we would get it right. I learned forgiveness. But the first thing I would say I learned from my parents was I learned my faith. They passed down their faith. And how important that is to me in my life right now. How much it has helped me once I left home. Everything else they passed on helped me. But the faith is what kept me on the right path. The faith that they passed down is what kept me going forward. It gave me a purpose for living. The reason I have something bigger to live for than money, something bigger to live for than fame, something bigger to live for than anything else this world can give, is because my parents said, look, there's something more important than money, and it's Jesus. There's something more important than fame, and that's giving God the glory. That's going out and winning souls. That's going out and being living a testimony. They gave me their faith. They taught me what it meant to be a Christian. My dad, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I had to memorize this verse for college, so thank you, Dr. Bradley. Deuteronomy 6, and start at verse 5, and I'll read on. I stood between the Lord, I'm in 5, I'm sorry, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. You know, I can say that my dad lived out those verses. I think of verse 7. It says, when thou risest up, man, there was something to learn in the morning from my dad. I mean, if something was going on, then we were going to learn about it. And he was going to tell us, hey, this is what the Bible says about it. Whether it had to do with something going on in the States or something going on in Romania, whether it was a Catholic holiday, or Orthodox holiday. Look, this is why that's wrong. And we learned. And it was while we were sitting down and when we were driving down the streets and watching all the craziness, and we'd see what they call them troitzas, and their little shrines at the corners and at every church. And my dad went, this is what they believe and this is what it means to them. But that this is what the Bible says about that. Right. We can go directly to God. We don't need these shrines. We don't need Mary. We don't need any of that. This is what it means to me. This is what it means to us. And we sat down and we were eating our food, and my dad, something would come up and my dad would be like, hey, this is what the Bible says about that. He lived it out. It wasn't every night we had, you know, the Bible time. It was all day long. Depending on what happened, we were going to have some Bible time somewhere in the day. And what a blessing that has been in my life now. And I look back and say, hey, that verse, that's my dad. He lived that. I think about the testimony my dad left, and when it came to church, I cannot recall a service that we had the opportunity to be in church that we were not in church. Whether we had a meeting, whether we had no meeting on Wednesday, but we were driving from Florida to New York, and it happened on a Wednesday, we were going to find a church somewhere to be at. And I tell you, my dad was good at picking churches. This was before all that, you know, just Google it on your phone and find an independent Baptist church. My dad just, he could find a good church on the road all the time. Pull into one church, get a meeting or whatever. My dad, the Lord was with it. And the Lord blessed my dad. And he told me, if I have to miss a service, man, I get grumpy. I mean, it just gives me a bad day. Man, if something happened, I was sick or something, my van broke down or I got stuck in traffic. It makes for a bad day. And all I can think of is, my dad, the reason I'm like this is because of my dad. And I can thank him that church is so important to me. He taught me so many things about character. He taught me how to work, whether I liked it or not. He taught me how to work. He taught me what it meant to be righteous. He taught me what it meant to be kind. What it meant to just give and give and give. Man, the gypsies and the Romanians and the people would get my dad, oh, give me money, this is happening, and they would go and waste the money, and my dad would say, I'm never doing that again. Somebody would come, Brother Jim, I need, what, okay, I'll do it. And I thought, that's crazy. But then I think about the Bible, and, well, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Just give and give and give and expect nothing in return? We're not there for the profit. Landmark Baptist Church is not here to make money, I can tell you that much. Too many ministries here drain the money, but they reach souls. Amen. They drain the budget, but they change lives. Amen. I can praise the Lord that my dad taught me how to have some character, how to be proud that I'm a Christian, proud of my family. You know what else I got from my parents? I got friends. Man, all over the world, I could go to churches. I could go, hey, Dad, I'm going to be in somewhere in Missouri. Do you know a good church there? Oh, yeah, I think I have a friend. And I go there, and they'll treat you like family. It's something in common, because my dad had a good testimony. You know, I've said it dozens of times to people. I've been blessed because of the testimony my dad had at Landmark over 25 years ago. I've seen people have come up to me that, and I apologize that I don't know, and said, we've been praying for you by name for 25 years since your parents went to Romania. And I'm like, what a blessing. I mean, if somebody's praying for me for that long, they're a friend. Whether I knew they were my friend or not, they've been my friend. Because they've cared about me. They've been doing something for me. Why was the Good Samaritan considered a neighbor? Because he helped that man. There are people here who have been helping me longer than I know. And I praise the Lord for the friends that I've gotten from my earthly heritage, from my parents, from their testimony, from the life that they live, from the things that they taught me. But I think more important is something I learned through the faith of my dad, but is my spiritual heritage, my Christian heritage, maybe you could say, something I got from Christ. When I took part in him, when he decided to save me from an eternal hell, and give me part in heaven and I became a joint heir, I earned some things. There's an inheritance that I earned from that. And those have affected my life too. And I think of, obviously, heaven. We get to inherit heaven. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. There's a place for Samuel Morgan in heaven. Hey, if you don't have, if there's not a place for you in heaven, then you better get that set straight. Because I don't think Jesus is going to mind building another mansion. He'll be happy to. Christ has given me a heavenly heritage, a heavenly inheritance, something I can look forward to. It might not be for a couple years. It might not be for a couple decades. But one day, I'll get to enjoy that inheritance. Think of the Bible. Is that something that God gave us? Amen. I mean, it doesn't mean anything to the lost world. It's not for them. It's for us. Christians, those who have been saved, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's part of your inheritance. Treasure it. It has value. It'll change your life. It'll make you a better person. Amen. Many of the attributes and the character that my dad passed on came from the Bible. In 2 Timothy, let's go turn to 2 Timothy 3. If the college students haven't memorized this verse yet, then soon they will. Amen. 2 Timothy 3, 15, 16, and 17. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's part of our inheritance. It's going to teach us. It's going to direct us. It's going to guide us. It's going to reprove us. It's going to be like, hey, you need to get that right. Set that straight. It'll teach you the characteristics of God. The fear of the Lord class. I learned a lot from that. But learning the attributes of God. And as I did that, I thought about something. We talk of heroes and heroes of the faith, and I couldn't count on my hands and toes how many people in here that have affected my life. And I thought about that, and I thought about that, and I said, what truly affected my life because of them? Why did their lives affect me more than someone else's? What can I pinpoint in their life? And I said, and I thought about that, and I said, it's an attribute of God in their life. Whether they just live in the joy of the Lord. And that's what affected me. That's what I admired. That's why that person changed my life. Because they were living this attribute. Or boldness to speak. Man, that's why I want to be like that person. It's not because I want to be like so-and-so. No. I don't want to be a mini anyone. Or an emulation of exactly like anybody else. I don't want to be a copy-paste. Right? Younger generation probably got that. The college students, right? I don't want to be just like everybody else or someone else. But I can look through this room and say, I like that person's work ethic. They exhibit Christ in how they work. Or they exhibit Christ in their smile every day. They exhibit Christ in their joy. They exhibit Christ in their boldness. They exhibit Christ in their knowledge of the Word of God. I guarantee anybody in this room can find somebody that says, yeah, that person reminds me of Christ in this way. That's why I enjoy spending time with so-and-so. And I have learned how important the Bible is. In Exodus 33, verse 11, it speaks of Moses and Joshua entering into the tabernacle, and Moses speaks with God. But it says, then Moses leaves the tabernacle and goes and speaks with Israel. But it said, but Joshua, his servant, stayed still in the tabernacle. I misquoted it a little bit, but that's the idea. And I thought about that verse a lot and said, you know, I can learn a lot from Brother Parsons. And I can ride on the knowledge he has and his relationship with God, and I can gain from it. But there's going to come a time when I'm going to have to get alone with God. There's going to come a time when Moses is going to walk off the scene and I'm going to be alone with God. And that's more important. I think Joshua could have followed Moses out, but he stayed in the tabernacle. Because as much as he admired and loved Moses, he realized that God was more important in his life. That personal relationship with God. You can't have a secondhand relationship with God. Just because you know Pastor Carter and he has a relationship with God doesn't mean you have a relationship with God. The Bible teaches us so much. It's an inheritance. Read it over and over and over and over again, and it'll never get old. It's full of rebuke, yes, but it's also full of joy, and it's full of blessings. Again, another thing I've inherited from God, and again, this corresponds directly with what I've gotten from my earthly parents, is I've gotten friends. I know there are churches I can go to that I wouldn't know anybody, and I would make a friend there. Because you know what our common denominator is? Jesus Christ, our Savior. We realize that the Bible is the our direction. It's there to light our path. I have friends, not because of anybody else besides that Christ is a part of my life. Nobody else had an effect. Nobody else brought us together. There's nothing else to tie us together besides Jesus Christ. I've inherited friendships with hundreds and thousands of people because of what Christ has done in my life, because of what I've learned from the Bible, because of the fact that he loved me. Again, so many things that God has given us. I was thinking about, again, my parents, how they affected my life and the blessings I've received because of them. And I think of David. Why did Solomon not get destroyed once he started going away from God? For my servant David's sake. Can I tell you, I know most of the people here know, but I didn't come to college saved. I got saved here. 23 years, lost, going to hell. Came to college. You know what I love about Landmark? They still preach on salvation in Bible college. Because they realize that there are people that need to be saved in Bible college. Don't wait till your third year to get it right. That's way too long. Get it right first. Get it right now and enjoy the rest of the ride. But for my parents' sake, I have been blessed. For Christ's sake, I have been blessed. Because of what he did, I get to receive blessings. Because of the sacrifice he made, I get to receive blessings. If you're here and you're like, that makes absolutely no sense, then maybe all you have is an earthly inheritance. You need to get that heavenly inheritance settled and get that relationship with Jesus Christ and settle that so you can have this better inheritance. Yes, I praise the Lord for everything that I have because of my parents. But Jesus Christ is first and foremost. Jesus Christ has to be the most important part of your life. He demands it. He's earned it. He died for you. He died for me. He loved me. I didn't deserve his inheritance. I deserved hell, just like anyone. I know I grew up in a good home. I haven't done things that other people have done. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It will never matter. Because in the eyes of Christ, we're all sinners. My dad always says this, we're all made out of the same dirt. You weren't made out of some special pile, no. We're all the same dirt. We all came from the same place. We all need that same Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I thank you for how good you are to us, Lord. I thank you for, Lord, the opportunity again to be here. And Lord, I thank you for the impact that Landmark has had on my life, Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone here that hasn't trusted you as a Savior, Lord, I pray that you would work on their heart, Lord, and that, Lord, no one would leave this room unsaved. Lord, it's not worth it to take the risk to go home without you as their Savior, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Carter and Brother Parsons and the effect that they've left on my life and how they've helped me get to the place where I am, Lord. Thank you for Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, preacher.
Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed. Thank you, Brother Sammy. He talked about the godly heritage and the Christian parents, the missionary parents. But he said that wasn't enough. Too many folks, and I've heard some say to me, mother was a godly Christian, daddy was a deacon or preacher even. But the Bible says, so then every one of us shall answer of himself unto God. It's personal. The old spiritual song said, it's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's personal. Has it been a time that you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I remember that word real big when I was a lost young man. I did not know anything about the Bible or church. I was driving my hot rods and going the way of the that seemed right to me. I had a friend on the racetrack that got killed. I went to a funeral. Amazing how God works. That funeral was in the building about a block behind this building, Eastside Baptist Church. It was probably the biggest church in town at that time in my life. I slipped in and sat on the back row, didn't know anything about church or anything, but I went to the funeral. And I heard the preacher. He was concluding his message by the time I got in. And he made this statement. He said, except a man receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he can't go to heaven. Now, I did not understand the word personal Savior. Didn't understand what he was talking about. But something about it stabbed me in the heart real big. Never got over that. The night I got saved, had heard the gospel, went to church with a girl that wouldn't go with me anywhere else, and so I heard the gospel. And I went out the door that night, and the preacher preached a good message, and God had spoken to my heart. I forgot about my girlfriend sitting there and how embarrassed I'd be in front of her or all the other people I didn't know. I guess I was about the first one got to the door. Shake the preacher's hand. I just went back there to say something to him. He looked up, said, yes, young man, what is it? I said, I just want you to know I believe what you preached tonight. He said, are you trying to tell me that you want Jesus as your personal Savior? I said, that's it. That word I'd heard the first time at a funeral. Do you know him as personal? Personal to you, not your mother's Savior, not your daddy's Savior, yours. In a time you said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. Been a time you done that? You could do it tonight. You could do it tonight. Brother Bird, I'm going to ask you to lead our final verse. This will be our invitation tonight.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence.
How about you? How about you? Still plenty of time. You can step out and receive Christ. You know what the word personal Savior means when you pillow your head tonight. Do you know him? Do you know him?
My blessed Savior, I surrender all.
All right, we'll let you be seated in the congregation.